Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I didn't care about nothing else but partying.
I should be doing horror film music.
Yeah, fine. Kunde vi få över oss det här?
Why
you getting that question? Jag älskar liksom så typ koncept.
It's exciting, it's fresh, it's different. The purists hated it.
It's really strange.
I tried working for the man, but fuck it, you know.
Whatever makes you feel good, go with it.
Old to the new. A flavor from the old, so you don't scare people, but with the future sound.
Trent Møller slog igenom som house- och teknoproducent men kunde inte snabbt nog lämna den scenen för att göra det som han verkligen brydde sig om. En egen variant av drömsk pop och rock, tungt influerad av de brittiska öarnas deprimerande klimat och mörker plus det skandinaviska vemodet. Det här är Musik och Dernulf med Trent Møller.
I said yes to play in whatever band. I played in a blues band. I played in a Queen tribute jam band. I played and I'm not a fan of Queen at all, but I was just happy to play music.
Trent Møller, välkommen till Musik och Dernulf.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Tack. Tack så mycket.
Anders Trent Møller slog igenom i början av 00-talet med ett gäng singlar som tog plats och visade på något nytt. Han fick snabbt stort följe efter att ha uppdaterat housen med en elektronisk twist. Här kom en helt ny kraft och svepte in med friska vindar, vilket innebar att han fick mycket uppmärksamhet och folk väntade med spänning in nästa släpp. Ingen visste att det här var något som en rastlös Anders gjorde som en revolt och inte snabbt nog kunde lämna scenen. Det var bara i Köpenhamn och bland hans vänner och gamla bandmedlemmar som han visste om bakgrunden i en massa pub- och rockband. Som ung tog han helt enkelt varje tillfälle i akt för att få spela. Jag träffade honom i Stockholm 2006 och det var en då ganska avvokt inställd man. Han var inte otrevlig på något vis men ville verkligen klargöra att han inte tillhörde den elektroniska scen som plötsligt omfamnat och verkligen älskade honom.
Yeah, but I never felt part of that also because to be honest I could see that there were so many limitations in, you know, that kind of the music. I felt it was very often too repetitive in a boring way because I really love crowd rock and they can also be like loops in a way but in a more organic way, and I also felt that there was like a praise of the DJ that I found a little bit ridiculous, to be honest, because okay, come on, it's about mixing other people's music together and turn on the bass and drop it on again and that's it maybe and you know and have a good taste of course and all that, but I found it a little bit uncharming, to be honest. So I actually used quite a lot of years to slowly fade out of that environment and just try to find my own legs to stand on, so to speak.
Well, you succeeded in doing that. Congrats.
Thanks.
För honom var åren med elektronisk musik en reaktion på alla år av att spela i band. Nu kunde han skapa musik på egen hand och var inte beroende av någon annan. Att göra de första house- och techno-singlarna var raka motsatsen till det han sysslat med tidigare och ett sätt att revoltera mot allt han tidigare gjort. Efter de första singlarna så rörde sig Trent Møller bort från housemusiken och mer mot teknon. Han fann en mörkare ljudbild och det gick att ana att det här var en producent som hade många olika typer av influenser. Fansen som älskade honom för de första singlarna undrade snart däremot vad han höll på med. Hur kunde han som gjorde så bra elektronisk musik välja bort den för något så traditionellt som gitarr, pop och rock? Så medan den första skaran fans långsamt lämnade så kom det nya i en strid ström. Själv visste han precis vad han ville och skulle göra.
Yeah, but it is actually not true that that my debut album didn't have that, because I was using quite a lot of live drums there also, and guitars and bass, and we also toured that album just with a guitar player and a drummer and a bass player. So I always wanted to, you know, to of course play my music live, but I also wanted to incorporate what you call real instruments into the music, and it is totally true that my music was much more electronic back then. But recently, my debut album turned 15, and I was in Danish radio, and they asked me to listen to the album again because I haven't heard it for quite a long time, and I was actually stoked by that so many of the songs are quite, you know, they have some post-punk elements in it. There are e-bows, there are some guitars, and there are these kind of noisy things going on. Not in, you know, every single song, but there's definitely a straight line from that album to what I'm doing now. And we're also playing several of the songs from the first album in our live set still, because it fits so naturally to where I am now. So I was a little bit surprised that it was actually not so far away, in a way, some of the songs from where I actually am now.
Trent Møller är en av de få artister som har avvisat Kanye West. Året var 2009 och Trent Møller skulle precis kliva upp på Roskildes största scen då Kanye Wests manager frågade om Kanye möjligtvis fick rappa på en av Trent Møllers låtar. Kanye West hade precis uppträtt innan Anders. Trent Møller han tackade artigt nej då han var inne i sin bubbla och peppat för den här spelningen riktigt länge. Och dessutom hade han ingen riktig koll heller på vem Kanye West var. Det var först i efterhand som andra förklarade och han förstod vad han tackat nej till. Idag är det en erfaren man och musiker som man möts av. Tidigt i sitt skapande så försökte han kopiera och se till att han var aktuell och följde med i trenderna. Trent Møller fick ägna några år just åt att förfina hantverket, testa i studion och spela live med band, och så plötsligt så visste han att nu var han på rätt väg. Framförallt förstod han vad han inte skulle göra. Det tar helt enkelt en massa tid att hitta sig själv. För honom var det självklart att ta varje möjlighet att få spela och lära sig så mycket som möjligt.
Back then, I just wanted to play music, and that has always been my big dream and my goal, actually. So I said yes to play in whatever band. I played in a blues band. I played in a Queen tribute jam band. I played, and I'm not a fan of Queen at all, but I was just happy to play music with some people, and they were from Copenhagen, and I thought, Copenhagen, that's super cool. I want to go there to play even more music. And I played some jazz stuff. I even played some folk. So I played a lot of different genres, and right now I'm so happy about that fact that I didn't only stick to one genre, you know, and that is also why I still listen to a lot of different music. Very often, not the same music as I'm doing myself, because then it nearly gets too much. So I listen to a lot to classical music. I'm a huge fan of Jan Johansson. I love his Jazz på Svenska and all his jazz recordings. So I always find it quite giving to listen to music that are a little bit different from what you're doing yourself, in a way. when I came to Copenhagen, there were a lot of other people that also shared the same taste of music that I had. Because back in the town where I lived, that was me and then this other guy Søren, and we were listening to Echo and the Bunnymen. We were really happy about that band, and no one else knew that band, and everyone thought we were outsiders, and we were outsiders actually, and we were nerds, you know. And then suddenly in Copenhagen, you could go into a club and you know hear especially that music that you liked and see other people relating to the same music. That was fantastic to experience that you suddenly were you know not alone, but you know, then again it was also a very closed community, and I felt still also with the whole indie and the whole rock community, it was really hard to get inside. So I felt a little bit the same as I felt with the electronic scene, that I was never really a part of any scene like 100%, because I was also just shy, I think. So I never really dared to ask for the right vinyls in the cool shops, because I was a little bit afraid of the people there, I think, to be honest.
Vordingborg, så heter den lilla danska staden där Anders Trentemøller växte upp. Mest känd är stan för sin slottsruin från sent 1100-tal. Historiska sevärdheter räcker knappast för att hålla kvar en tonåring i hembygden, så vid 17 års ålder valde han att röra sig mot Köpenhamn. Även om det till stora delar är brittisk musik som influerat honom genom åren, så var det ett amerikanskt band som verkligen fick honom att reagera.
I think some of the first music that you know really hit me, that I heard that was very different from what normally was played on the radio, because I mostly listened to the radio. That was actually I can remember that song especially, because I really thought it was so scary sounding. I was a little bit afraid of it, but that was Venus in Furs by Velvet Underground, and you know this drone from the violin was just a sound that I have never heard before, and it was really mesmerizing how music could sound so differently, and it was in a way sounding forbidden, you know. It was magical, and I was really mesmerized with it, and I was also afraid of it in a way. So I later turned back and found out, okay, this is a band called Velvet Underground, and they do this kind of music, and they are doing feedbacks and overtones in their music, and that was maybe why I got into that kind of music also. And then later it was in my teens, it was more like The Smith and Cure and Echo and the Bunnymen and bands like that, you know. That music that you are listening to just before you are getting teen, or maybe also through your teens, somehow I think it really sticks to you, and it also, because you are in a especially in your teens, you are in a moment in your life where you really try to find out your own identity, of course, and that music shapes you and it sticks to you somehow. And for me, I can still get inspired to listen to, you know, that music. I'm also trying to listen to other music, of course, and I'm not trying to be a nostalgic guy only on my albums, but I can also just be realistic and see that you know that sound, especially that post-punk, post-rock sound of the mid-80s, early 90s even, is apparently such a big part of my taste for music.
Som liten lyssnade han en hel del på Beatles, Elvis Costello, och det brittiska soundet tilltalade honom aningen mer än det amerikanska. Det var det lätta handlaget i melodisnickrandet som britterna lockade med, och först senare tog han till sig av den lite mer avantgardistiska riktningen som de amerikanska banden bidrog med. Som nyfiken 20-åring var det däremot den brittiska poppen som fångade honom.
When the whole Britpop scene started, I also played in a band, and it sounded really, really bad, but we really wanted to try like Blur and a little bit Oasis stuff. So I always think, you know, back then I can remember I was definitely not into grunge. I was into Britpop, and it was very important to have that thing going on. And there's also this romantic idea about the whole UK the working class hero music. I really love that that vibe. So it really stick to me. But then later I also discovered a band like Suicide that had that really New York kind of punky, edgy thing that was electronic without guitars. That was fantastic to me. Also, that really opened another door for me. It was not really Kraftwerk that turned me into the more electronic stuff. That was actually rather Suicide, I think. So going into that hole, then I listened to Sonic Youth and Pavement and those US bands. So, but in my teens, it was very much the British sound, I think.
När den brittiska scenen i slutet av 80-talet gick mot ett klubbigare sound i form av Madchester-scenen, det vill säga när band från Manchester lät housemusiken influera poppen, ja, då blev det lite av Trent Møllers första introduktion till den moderna klubbmusiken.
I think it actually started back then with the whole Manchester sound with Stone Roses, Happy Mondays also, because Happy Mondays also incorporated breakbeats and had that kind of club thing that I thought was a fresh input to the more kind of indie rock sound. And then I started to do some club tunes also later. That was maybe in the early 2000, but I never felt a part of any like rave scene or club scene, because I also did a lot of other music at the same time. So it was more like a coincidence that my more electronic stuff was picked up, because I still played in bands that did, you know, more like noisy guitar stuff, but it was never released really. And you know, back then I wasn't so focused on having my music released. I was more about doing it, and then I was happy that someone would release it. So sometimes it felt like a hobby thing, because I was mainly doing the other kind of music. and you can also hear that in my debut album. I think that, you know, all already there, you have kind of both worlds trying to merge together.
Into the Great Wide Yonder heter Trent Møllers andra album. Det är här influenserna från tonåren får utrymme, gitarrerna tar plats och sången gör entré. De elektroniska influenserna fasas ut, men återfinns ändå på singlarna i form av remixer från olika producenter. Få lyckas likt Trent Møller fånga den där känslan av att stå med benen i två olika världar. I hans fall var det tidigt den elektroniska scenen och pop- och rockvärlden. Debutalbumet The Last Resort kom i en tid när den minimala Berlinscenen fått styra och ställa och den elektroniska scenen visat på en rad ekvilibristiska akter. På albumet hördes influenser från elektronika till dubb och techno, och här finns också långa svepande partier som får dig att nästan se dig själv i huvudrollen till en sekvens i en film. Det kommer inte som en överraskning heller att Trent Møller såg sig själv som en framtida kompositör av filmmusik.
Yeah, I've, you know, really loved soundtracks. I'm a huge fan of David Lynch. So many musicians are, I think, because he's using not only music but sound in such a creative way that I really love.
Många artister som komponerar när en dröm om att få ta hand om en film och skapa ett soundtrack. En möjlighet som inte dyker upp för så många, men som Trent Møller haft förmånen att vara med om. Inte så konstigt kanske, då mycket av hans musik är instrumental och bär på kaskader av känslor, producerat med en känsla av mystik och vemod som man lätt kan tänka sig in i ett filmiskt sammanhang. Hans egen upplevelse för Det som ingen vet, en film av Søren Krag Jacobsen, var speciell, och han fick ganska snabbt klart för sig att det som utifrån sett upplevs som ett ensamt arbete i verkligheten är raka motsatsen.
It is a very, very big teamwork, and you know that can be fantastic, but it also needs to be a director or be the right people that you are working with that gives you a certain amount of freedom. Of course, it's something that should work together with a lot of different parts, but a certain amount of artistic freedom is quite important, I think, if I should do it again. it was definitely a big, like a childhood dream for me coming true, because I always, always liked soundtracks. Even I also loved film music from Morricone to Badamenti. But also it was something that I thought would feel quite natural to me, because I always loved instrumental music, and I also did a lot of instrumental music even in my young years. I had a band, rock band. We only played instrumental songs that we wrote ourselves. So it always felt like a quite natural thing for me to do. So I also think maybe next time, if David Lynch should ask, I don't think he will, but I would definitely be up for it.
So what are the challenges, would you say?
The challenges is definitely that it has to be a big teamwork still, and the challenge is also sometimes that the music shouldn't really take over too much. I think a guy like Jeffro Barrow from Beak and Portishead, he's really, really good at writing music scores that are doing enough, but you know, never too much, and it's much about sometimes going with the pictures, but sometimes going against the pictures, so you don't reveal too much before it's happening. And all those things was something that I think that I learned by doing this score for many years ago. So I think it's definitely much more appealing and much more interesting to me if it is a director that is open for my kind of sound, because I'm not the one doing a traditional Hollywood string arrangement, of course.
Sedan 2 år tillbaka så samarbetar han med sångerskan Lisbeth Fritze. Eller ja, hon är mest av allt arkitekt, och hon är ändå den enda rösten på nya albumet. Tidigare har han arbetat med flera olika sångerskor, men passande nog så övertalade han sin flickvän. Hennes röst bidrar till stämningen på albumet Memoria. Hennes sång spelades in flertalet gånger, och så adderades versionerna ovanpå varandra för att skapa en speciell karaktär. Dark wave, shoegaze eller bara drömsk pop? Vad är det han skapar? Hur ska man beskriva det? Jag själv har slutat försöka sätta ord på det han gör. Det går liksom inte att komma ifrån att Trente Møller ändå slår an ett vemod som väcker nyfikenhet hos lyssnare och framförallt journalister världen över.
It is really funny, because I was doing a lot of Mediterranean and Mexico interviews yesterday. I had a long promo day only doing that, and they nearly everyone asked about that. Why is it so melancholic? Is it this Scandinavian thing? And the only thing that I could answer was that I think it's because you know, this Scandinavian folk music is such a big part of our culture. It's really in our DNA, and our lullabies, you know, they are also always in minor, and it's always a little bit melancholic and blue. So I think it's a very natural thing for me to write music that has that tone. Because and also, again, most of the even the, you know, UK bands that I listened to back then also definitely had that kind of depressing, nearly melancholic vibe. The Cure and all that, Joy Division. So I think it's part of our history somehow. And also, when you listen to Icelandic, Sigur Rós, you can really feel the nature and the long history behind the music. It's not just modern rock music. It feels like there's some ancient buried in the music somewhere.
Inför albumet Obverse som kom 2019 så valde han att skippa bandprocessen med att låta musiker vara med och bidrag, och den här gången skrev han allt själv. Det tog däremot 4-5 månader av skrivkramp innan han fick något gjort. Tillsammans med flickvän drog han iväg 3 veckor till en avlägsen stuga i Sverige och var helt bortkopplad från allt som kunde distrahera. Och resultatet blev att han kom tillbaka med energi och skaparlusta. Ja, det har nu gått snart 3 år sedan förra albumet, och inför arbetet med det här så bestämde han sig för att, precis som i debutalbumet, så ville han att Memoria skulle skapas fritt och helt utan någon speciell tanke.
I changed as a human, and I hopefully my music reflects where I am in life, you know. But it has always been very important to me that creating music should be quite playful. It should be like being a boy in a candy store, you know, and just do whatever feels right and not thinking too much about genres. And the only thing that I really tried to do was not trying to make the same album twice, but I didn't really thought about maybe the next album should have even more real instruments, or next album should be more electronic or something jazzy or something. It's simply the music that kind of demands where I'm going. But I think a huge difference from with you know this album was that this was the first time that this is the first time that I wrote all the lyrics myself, and I wrote all the melody lines also for the vocals and everything myself. Of course, I always wrote the instrumental music, but I have always chosen to work with different vocalists. Sometimes there were like four or five features on an album, and this time I've really wanted to only have one human voice to kind of guide you through the whole album. I feel it's a little bit more easy to make this natural flow the whole album through. So you know, that was a little bit scary for me in the beginning to especially starting to write my own lyrics, because the melody writing of the vocal melody lines, that was quite easy to me because I have always had a lot of melodies in my head also when I worked with other vocalists, and then very often we were writing the songs together. But this time I really wanted to have the control and just follow my ideas and write everything myself.
Förutom att han den här gången har tagit full kontroll över allt i processen, så blev det så att det här albumet blev som en motsats till Obverse. Den gick i moll medan det nya går i dur. I övrigt försökte han i skapandeprocessen låta allt vara möjligt och inte analysera sin utveckling. Utan tanken var att komma nyfiken till studion och inte alls planera vad han skulle göra.
I tried to not think too much about what I have done in the past and what should I do in the future. Just do a lot of different music that feels right in the moment. So in the beginning, it is very much that little kid in the candy store playing around. And then quite fast, I find a sound or a direction that I want to follow. And this time it was quite fun because the way the songs are on the album, the, you know, running order is quite the same way as I came up with the songs. So the first song, Veil of White, that is opening the whole album, is also the first song that I wrote. And the last song, Linger, was also the last song that I wrote, because somehow it just made sense to me that each song kind of had a relationship with the former song. Yeah, and I just think that's the first time that I have written an album that was so chronologically evolving. Maybe also because I was my own boss this time, and I didn't had any one to please. Not please sounds wrong, but I didn't work with the other vocalists, so I had the control 100%. So I could also follow my. In a vision, but vision also sounds so big and epic because I didn't have a clear vision. It's more about having a gut feeling.
Från att bara sitta ensam i studion och skriva musiken, så blir det en helt annan upplevelse när det är dags att sätta ihop ett band och få vara med om hur de skapar något nytt av det han skrivit. Den här gången har han förberett sig inför första turnén på några år genom att välja ut sina danska favoritmusiker, och självklart hoppas han på en bra kemi under turnén.
I always like that energy that four or five people can bring together, and it's also a really nice like a culture clash for me, sitting alone in the studio and then suddenly share my music with four or five other people. And then after that going out to share that music that we are creating together with a lot of people outside of Denmark also.
Ja, många artister kämpar i år för att nå ut och hitta sin publik, medan andra får fäste och noteras på en gång. Trente Møller blev uppmärksammad redan efter sin första singel och är artisten som är oförmögen att stå still och bara fortsätta som förut. Vägen fram är att utmana sig själv och därför har han också lyckats med att utvecklas. Debutalbumet kom i en tid när ingen annan gjorde något liknande och även om senaste, sjätte albumet är en sällsam resa in i ett drömskt 80- och 90-tal så finns det tydliga kopplingar till debuten. Den här dansken har på sitt eget vis skapat sig en plats i musikhistorien. Anders, thanks for sharing your thoughts on Musik och Danulf. Tack.
Yeah, thank you very much for and I'm very happy to take part of this fantastic talk podcast here. So, and it was fun to talk about my teens and youth. It's not something that I'm talking so much about in other interviews, so that was really nice. Yeah, thank you.
And then later on I will see you vi syns på konsert i Sverige, eller hur?
Det gör vi helt säkert.
Tusen tack så länge.
Perfekt.
Det här är Musik och Danulf med Trente Møller. Passa på att bli Patreon och säkra poddens fortlevnad. Och så kan du samtidigt uppleva den med mer musik. Och så får du rabatterat pris på klubbar och festivaler. Tack för att du har hängt med så här långt. Sprid gärna ordet så hörs vi alldeles strax igen.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.